teaching and preaching, and I'm not going to keep you very long. But I want us to go back to the first book of the Bible, and let's learn things about the home from the beginning. Because that which God teaches us from the beginning is no different now. It's still one man for one woman for one life. It was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Don't dry up on me now. But we need to always, as married couples, recognize the fact that we need to appreciate each other. We don't ever need to take for granted the spouse that God has given us. I still remember one day, and I'll run my reference here in just a moment. I still remember one day going by the nursing home many years ago to visit my mom. And it was not every time that Mama remembered. And it gets that way. You got to be ready for that. So I walked in the room that day and I said, "Mama, how you doing today?" And she said, "How dare you call me Mama? I don't even know who you are." Well, that was hard. But I went out in the hallway for a while and wiped all my tears. And I came back in the room. I said, "How are you today, Miss Maynard?" "Oh, I'm doing fine." And we visited for a while. I said, "Well, Miss Maynard, did you ever have a family?" She said, "Yeah, I was married to Johnny Maynard." Now listen to me. I said, "Tell me about Mr. Maynard." "Well, he used to run a hardware store in Louisville, and he used to go sing in churches, and they didn't have a perfect marriage. But and she just kept talking, and she said he was so gentle." You see what I'm saying? And then I made the mistake. I said, "Well, did you have any children?" "Yeah, Dale and David." "Well, tell me about David." She went, "Shh." "So ain't got time to learn about him." That's all she said. But I want us to go all the way back just for a few minutes tonight to the Garden of Eden. And I just want us to just take a little time tonight to talk about the first home. Let's go back all the way where the Bible speaks how everything began. In Genesis chapter number 2, and begin reading with me, if you will, please, in verse number 15. And let's learn some things. "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord had commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die.' And the Lord God said, 'It's not good that a man should be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him.'" Right there is where it started. And it says here that what did God say was not good for man? It was not good for a man to be alone. Now, we ought to, right now, and I'll just have to do it long distance, every one of us right now ought to grab each other's hand. And thank God that we are not alone. Now, I know sometimes we get on our last nerve. We get on each other's last nerve. I get on my own last nerve too, amen. But still and yet, you don't know how to appreciate your spouse until maybe you're not with them for a little while. I guess that's one of the reasons, as I mentioned so much, about going to Mount City, Tennessee to help Charlie Russell. We go up there and we visit during the day. We have service. We have a nighttime up there in a prophet's room. Then we go back the next morning. And about 12 o'clock when I leave out of Mount City, Tennessee, praise God, I ain't got a speeding ticket yet to get home. Because there's a precious little lady right there that I've been married to for 40 years. And it's not good for a man to be alone. So what did God say was not good for man? Well, that he not be alone. Notice this next of all tonight. How was the first woman made? Well, as we would read this tonight, and I'm just going to give you the thought here. There was a deep sleep. She was made as the rib that was the closest to his heart. Think about that. Let's read that. Let's read that. Verse 19. "And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof." And let's go on down to verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of the ribs and closed up the rib instead thereof. What rib was it? And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. He took out the rib that was the closest to his heart and put a woman there. Let that sink in. You don't know how to appreciate your spouse until you don't have them. We better not ever take each other for granted. I want to say this publicly tonight, honey. I love you so much. I'm not a perfect man, but I sure did marry a great Christian woman. And you're next to my heart. And that's the way marriage is supposed to be. Let's move on. In this passage, God says that the woman is to be a helpmeet for the man. So that means that we are created and created together to help each other. Not to hurt each other, not to condemn each other, not to run each other down, but to be a helpmeet to each other. Let's not get so preoccupied to help everybody else that we're not taking time to help our own spouses. I've heard this said before. I don't need no man. That's what ladies would say. I don't need no man. I don't need no woman. Don't name me part of that crowd. I don't even want to think about it. I don't even want to think about being without her. Now, again, she's not able to make every trip with us of what God's called us to do. She's with me 99% of the time. And I'm not condemning truck drivers and people of that nature. Now, please don't take it that way. But there's something special about being together. And there's something missing when you're apart. Thank you, military men and ladies that serve our country. And you're separated from your family. I'll never forget. Going by the nursing home to visit Mama one day, and she was having one of them days, and I won't go into detail, but she was sitting there telling me all the great things of my daddy as a husband when they were married. Not a complaint about anything, and I remembered that she could have. I said something right there. I mean, every one of us, there's not a man in the building tonight that's perfect. And there's not a lady in the building either that's not perfect. So we don't accept each other for what we are or what we aren't. Excuse me. We love each other because of what we are. One thing that I have learned by listening, and please, Lord, please help me to say this right. We know that there's times along the way that a spouse will pass away. And then maybe later on, somewhere down the way, maybe the Lord will provide someone else. But I've heard many widow ladies and widowers that have remarried, even though those people were special, the majority of the time they still were not as special as the first one. So what I'm trying to say tonight and take the Bible tonight is to take a little time for the fact that marriage is to be special. In the passage, notice how the woman was made, again with the deep sleep, the rib that was closest to the heart, and was brought to the man. It was God that brought them together, which there wasn't any other choices. Y'all get that after a while. I want to say this to the young people tonight, to those that are in here that are not married, but looking real hard. Wait on God. Wait on God to bring that special person into your life. It not only means a whole lot to you, but, you know, as parents, Breed and I, oh my soul, Our three sons are as different. Sound like a TV show, don't it? Our three sons are as different as night and day, and our three daughter-in-laws are too. But they sure are made for the right son. And it's a wonder that Tabitha ain't killed Nathan. But it's amazing. And for the young people that are here tonight, please wait on God. Please wait for that special person. And by the way, it says a man and a woman, not a boy and a girl. The greatest mature decision that God will put upon your heart is who you'll spend the rest of your life with. I still love being around the older generation. My wife and I are pressing into that direction. I mean, I won't tell you her age, but it's the same as mine. I'm 60. I still enjoy seeing an older couple hold hands or open the door for the other one and things of that nature. It shows that the glitter is still there. It shows that there is something that even though the Lord might take one of them home, they might not be with them anymore in presence, but there'll still be something there that is so special. I'll never forget J.D. Melton. I've told this 6 zillion times and told it here. J.D. Melton fought the battle of the bull just as when we was at Turner's Creek Baptist Church, and when his wife Cleety died, he walked over and saluted her like he had done so many others. Because he honored her that much. And he loved her that much. So ladies, tonight we're grateful for you as our helpmeet. And that means that you are your husband's completer. And in essence, when you study the Bible, we are each other's completer. Don't miss this. That means if there's things that we help her with, then men, we're going to have to reach out and let her help us too. Even though we're so stuck up with pride, we don't think we need any help about anything. I'm just going to come out and say it. All that God allows in the call from Calvary Ministries could not be done if it was not for my wife. Your labor, singing in the services, the way you teach ladies, and how you keep your husband encouraged. It means so much. Now, remember, she was made. The first woman was made. There was a deep sleep. It was the rib closest to the heart, and she was brought to the man. Ladies, you are known as a helpmeet, which means that you are a completer. Now let me go a little step further. In marriage, what are the couple to leave? They are to leave their father and mother. Again, you marry into the family, but you don't marry the family. That show, what is it? What About Raymond? Gets on my nerves. Living next door and all the time there's all that interference going on. You leave father and mother. Now please don't, Brother Maynard, are you preaching against your parents? Absolutely not. Thank God for good parents. I believe there's been times that my wife went to my mother for advice when she really deep down didn't feel like she could go to anybody else. And we don't need to be outlaws either. We need to be in-laws. We've got three precious daughter-in-laws. They're all three different, night and day. That's because our sons are too. But boy, there's so much to be found here. We leave our father and mother. In marriage, what is a couple to leave their father and mother? In marriage, what do they become? What is the couple to become? The Bible says they cleave. And I looked that word up. Again, it means to be super glued or cemented too. Now, I know jobs take a lot of responsibility. I know the work of the Lord takes in a lot of responsibility and things of that nature. But still, we leave and cleave. Now, I'm not worried about your pastor, but there was one pastor along the way years ago that I knew. He preached a lot of meetings around America and stuff and was gone from his wife all the time. And he would come in 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and he would put a note on his door, "Don't bother me." That's not good. There could be some couple sitting here right now and don't take your elbow and poke each other. That way I'll know who you are. Don't do that. But sometimes if we're not careful, we get too busy. And it happened to me one time in ministry. There was a note on my door. It said, "It seems like you have time for everybody else. When do you have time for us?" Signed, Brita, Clayton, Nathan, and Seth. It's when I was full-time at King Community Church in King, North Carolina, my first pastor. And I learned a hard lesson. If you lose your family, you've lost it all. We leave and we cleave. Let's turn now, if you will, please, if you'll just run a few more references with me to Matthew chapter 19. That's in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 19. All right, here we go. I got a silly mood tonight. Brady, you're in trouble going home. Listen to what the Bible says, Matthew 19, verses number 4 through 6. "And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which hath made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh." That's the terminology of this. It's from the moment of your marriage through the time till death us do part. We are to leave and cleave. "What wherefore God had joined together, let not man put asunder." It does something to me to continually think about that God brought us together. It ought to be something that you and I never forget how miraculously or however that God brings that special person into your life. And just because you got him, "Well, I got my ring now. Can't nothing happen. We're one." Yeah. You know, one writer said this, and I ain't trying to be funny, because a lot of times we call each other baby. "Hey, baby. Hey, babe." Well, you know, for an infant baby, if you don't feed it, it dies. If your wife's your baby or your husband's your babe, you better continue to feed them. I need my wife, and she needs me. It's not a situation that we have to be married. Every couple that loves Jesus ought to want to be married to that person and always make it that way. Ephesians 5:25, if you just want to write that down, just because our time's going to be gone here. We not only cleave unto our wives, we love our wives. Let's just go ahead and turn to these. We're having a good time. Ephesians 5. Or I'm having a good time. How about the rest of you? Ephesians 5, verse 25. Once again, we'll read down beginning in verse 22. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." That's a whole lot to fulfill that when you think about how much Christ loves the church. What a distance that He came for us. What a sacrifice that He made for us. Rose from the dead, went through a crucifixion, went through hardship for us. And is now seated on the right hand of God for us. So you mean by the example of that, there could be crucifixion and hardship because you love somebody? There should, could be. All for the sake of that one that you love. I ask this question tonight to myself, and I think we ought to ask it to each one of us. Ask ourselves, how far are we willing to go for the sake that we love our spouse? The love that a husband has for his wife is found also in the book of Ephesians as the same as how Christ died for the church. Again, chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. I know of no greater sacrifice myself. Wives and husbands, tonight we ought to be willing to sacrifice anything and everything for the sake of our marriage. We're supposed to love our spouses as our own bodies. Look at verse chapter number 5 and verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it even as the Lord the church. I am to treat my spouse with strength. That's the word nourish. That means I'm to build her up, not tear her down. We're not to tear each other down. We're supposed to build each other up. Oh, wow. The word cherisheth is something you hold near and dear to your heart. And if we're not careful, sometimes there are worldly possessions that we can put in front of the ones that should be the most special to us. I know men that got their toys and women that got their toys, and it seems like they've got more time for that. Now, don't take this comment wrong. Yes, we are commanded and desire to love our children. I love our sons. I love our daughter-in-laws. We love our grandchildren, 6 girls and 1 boy. They're not sinners, but we love them, amen. No, they are too. But still, even in the midst of all the love that is spread to others, let's not ever get it to the point that we really forget humanly who we're supposed to love the most. Oh my. So we cleave, we love, because Christ gave Himself for the church as His own body. We provide for our wives. Let's turn over to 1 Timothy 5 verse 8, please. First Timothy 5, 8, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Providing for the family. Men, there ought to be a sense of satisfaction when you're able to work hard and provide for your family. There ought to be a satisfaction, ladies, those ladies that work, when you're able to work and to provide for the needs of your family. And maybe the next time you got a bad day on the job and you just feel like giving up, remember the reason you're there. You're there because you're a man after God's heart, and you're a man that has a heart for your family to be willing to Work hard to provide for your family. Let's go a little step further. When the man of the house and the lady of the house works too, and works so hard to provide for the family, then don't ever forget to thank them. Some time ago, Burita, I don't remember if you were with me or not. We were with our youngest son, Seth. He's a Edward Jones financial advisor now, goes to Woodland Baptist Church, and he's basketball coach there. And of course, he's taking care of our finances and taking care of our retirement and all of that. And the last time we sat down, had a meeting with him to see how everything was going, I said, son, I want you. I said, son, I want to thank you for taking care of Mom and Daddy. He looked at me and he said, Daddy, I want to thank you for working that sideline business to put me through college. There ought to be a satisfaction. Men, I know it's not always easy to work on a job. But there ought to always be a satisfaction that you have the ability to work hard to provide for your family. And ladies, and those at home, don't ever forget how to appreciate the ones that work hard for you too. I mean, it's not easy raising a family anymore. It wasn't easy, Breida, to put our boys through Christian school and Seth through 4 years of Christian college in Florida. But when you work hard, and you look back and you see how God worked and how God provided, it's worth every ball of sweat. It's worth every hour of overtime. It's worth all the cussings. If you really live a Christian life on the job, you will get cussed and discussed. I remember my first day on the job at Bonson Company. I said the blessing at the table, and I looked up, my food was gone. They throwed it away in a trash can, and guy said, no Holy Joes will be in this table. So I went over and sat at another table by myself. I didn't know anybody. Here come two men, come sit down with me. He said, we saw what happened to you, all because you just said the blessing. Well, my name's Ronnie Kleiner, and this is Gene Davis right here. We go to Bobby Robertson's church, and we're going to buy your lunch today. Hey, man! Oh, my. Let's always remember. Let's look at just two more things, and I'll be done. Let's turn to Romans chapter 7, verses 1, 2, and 3. Romans 7. Now please, before I read this, if you're here in this building tonight and you're divorced and remarried, I'm not against you. I'm not. Let's just praise God for how things are. And let's continue to pray to God that things will continue strong. Amen. Amen. Chapter number 7, verse 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband liveth she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Now, why did you read that tonight? I read that tonight because it's teaching once again that marriage is until death us do part. So let's render due benevolence to our wives. Let's not defraud our wives. Husbands, be the head of the wife. provide for the wife, honor the wife. Always remember, according to God's plan for marriage, the bond of marriage is only to be broken by death. Now again, if you're here tonight and you've gone through a divorce and a remarriage, one of our sons has, we can't change the past, can we? But we're going to press on and dedicate our marriages to God until death us do part. Now, I believe the Lord would have me stop right here. I dare say tonight, including 1750 Louisville Clemens Road, Clemens, North Carolina, there's not a marriage tonight that doesn't need prayer. I think about our three sons and our daughter-in-laws and grandchildren. We each morning try to take time to pray for each one of their families. Could be young people here tonight that's praying about marriage, young people here tonight that knows one day it's in their heart to find that special person. Why don't we slip around the altar tonight and pray about all these matters? Could be some here tonight that in your marriage is going through physical sickness. Just going through elements of things that you never dreamed for, never wished for. I will never forget when Josh Johnson married Stephanie Hutchins. How they prayed for the right person. And I've told this before. Brita knows what I'm going to tell. At the youth camp at Turner's Creek that year, I gave every... Now, this is a different day now. This is before all these cell phones. See, some y'all didn't even know there was such a day like that, did you? But I preached a message during the youth camp on purity. I know Brita remembers. And when the service was over, I gave every one of those girls 50 cents. And I said, I want you to keep that 50 cents, and if you're ever out with a boy, have you heard me tell this? If you're ever out with a boy and he does something wrong, or he's wanting to do something wrong, you get him real close to you and go, no! And then you take that 50 cents and call your daddy to come get you. Josh Johnson and Stephanie Hutchins had their wedding at Turner's Creek, and I was running the sound system that day. The pastor said, I now present to you Mr. and Ms. Josh Johnson. They come down the aisle. They stopped where I was at. She reached over and she handed me the 50 cents back. And she said, you can give this to another girl. I never needed it. They got married, and I had revival. Hey, man! Let's leave and cleave. Let's love each other till death us do part. Amen. Young people, let God put the person in your life to fall in love with to spend the rest of your life with. Pastor, you come.